iRockRadio.me. We are at the Chameleon Club before the big show with the band Dead. I'm hanging out with their lead singer, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And the rest of the guys are also here. I apologize for not having enough microphones.
That's okay.
I apologize. Hey, say dudes. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Congratulations on an incredible debut year for you guys, too.
Thank you.
Just amazing. Loudwire's new artist, you were nominated for that already. Made it to the top 20 with your debut single Anti-Everything and pretty much almost every major rock festival that's been out there. And Rock Allegiance was amazing.
Cool. Thank you, man.
That was the biggest pit of the night for that stage, too.
I think it was. So. It might have been. Even for August Burns Red, too?
Oh, hell
it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, yeah.
No disrespect to our homeboys there, too.
Sure. No, absolutely. Dude, that was awesome. The reception there was great because we played there with Corn and Stone Sour about two months before that.
You guys were just there.
And but it was cool not being where the seats are and stuff and being out and having like the crowd, like everybody in a tight space. And
There was no way I was getting up there. I was on the stairs, but I was like, all right, we got to get some pictures of that pit.
No, it was awesome, man. We were amped on it. We had a great time.
So you guys, you've just gotten together fairly recently, but it's not like you guys are new to each other.
Can you
kind of elaborate on how you all got together and started this band?
Yeah, we've all played in different bands together, but we've all been intertwined in a lot of ways. We played shows together. David recorded a lot of stuff for mine and Matt's old band and all that kind of thing. And when the other band slowed down, it was just kind of organic that we all just would play together. It just kind of worked out like that. We didn't really even try to do any of it. So it just really worked out naturally.
Was it something where, because things kind of moved pretty quickly when you got together.
Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead.
Yeah, once we, I mean, it was a process of us like recording for at least a year or so, in the studio and not showing it to anybody. It wasn't like meant to be made for other people to like have. It was really for us to make something that we wanted to hear. So then once we took all that time, we made a really good first impression because we didn't show it to anybody. You know what I mean? So we had so much time to mold it and make it exactly what we wanted to when we sent it to people. They sent it out to people just as people do when you hear something you like, you want other people to hear it and feel that way. So that was just like a natural thing. People sent it to people, and then we just got such great reactions from it. It just kind of popped off really fast.
I was going to say, because when you did put this together, was it something where you kind of had some songs already written from previous bands, or was it something that you kind of all just kind of...
No, yeah, this was all for this. It was an idea that we had. We were hanging out just talking about music, and we were like, there's no band that sounds like this band. And so we wanted to make that band. And so...
Right.
It was like, I don't know, it was weird. It was like when we would be making it, we'd be like, that doesn't sound like Dead. It was like we knew what this identity of this band, or, you know, we'd almost call it like a creature sometimes, like what it would sound like. And for some reason, we just had like the same exact idea in mind. And so it would always be like, that sounds like Dead. That's what it's supposed to sound like the whole time. Yeah.
Having your other bands previously, did you feel as though you had some momentum going into it, or did it almost kind of feel as though, okay, here we
Zero
are, we're
momentum.
Starting over?
Totally nope. Starting over.
Okay. Was there a frustration with starting over since you guys had a little bit of?
No. Refreshing. It was liberating because sometimes when you're doing a band and you do it for a long time, you can get frustrated with not succeeding or not fulfilling goals or... You know, in our case, like being in a record label and then, you know, not being there and all kinds of things like that. And trying to write songs that maybe you're hoping other people will like and will get on the radio and things like that, you know. This was like, we want to make stuff that resonates with us, that we feel. And it wasn't about anything else. Like, does this make us feel awesome? Then cool. Then it's good. If not, then throw it away and do something else. It was fully selfish. And it was like being 15 in a band, starting over and not caring if anybody hears your music.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was very
That's liberating. That's really the way it should be. You should be doing what you want to do and what you love to do. And then if people love it, that's great. But you're doing what you love. So that's very cool.
Yeah. And it worked really well for us. And we also had that discussion of like, if you make music that you don't necessarily like to make someone else happy, right? And then they don't like it. Then no one's happy. No one likes the music that was made. If you like it at least, and then they don't like it, at least you like it. If you make it, you like it, and they like it, everybody wins. I mean, that's the best way. That's what everybody should do.
Where did the idea come from with the name of... Well, it's kind of like a two-parter, okay?
Sure.
Because Dead is an interesting name for a band, especially spelled D-E-D. So where did that come from with?
Yeah. I guess just over time, we tried to start giving the project a name. It was probably in a group text. I think I sent it in and we all thought it was cool. So we started calling it that. But again, it was behind the scenes. It wasn't like,
right,
we need to put it on a flyer and show it to people. It was just like, we started calling, you want to go work on Dead today? That kind of
thing.
Well,
and if people ended up sneaking a peek, they would be like, Dead, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's absolutely true. Yeah. And it was a cool name. It's a play on words of the word dead, you know, and we're way into horror movies and things like that.
Sure.
It's a lot of things. It's an abbreviation for dedicated. It wasn't any of those things though, until people started asking us the question. It was just a cool word that we liked that we thought looked cool, really, on the very beginning of it. We're like, this is cool. It's just basic. It's, it's like short, solid, you know, bold.
Nice.
That was the name. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's taken on so many other things. It's like it's a quote from Spawn movie and all kinds of stuff like that. But it wasn't meant to be that when we.
Well, know. And the other one was the other question was then, and I guess he kind of answered that along with it, was the album, the debut album title, because did it have to do with it being a My Rune song, or did it have to do with the idea of, you know, the horror movies and Cutter, or like what.
My Ruin song?
Misanthrope.
Uh-huh. That's a... Who's My Ruin?
My Ruin is a gothic band.
Oh, okay.
From the 90s.
Not even familiar.
I'm dating myself now.
Maybe
shit.
We should check them out. No. I mean, we love music of all... Yeah, but... Yeah.
Actually, I think you guys would like them.
Okay, yeah. We should have checked out My Ruin. Okay.
My Ruin.
Yeah. I think it was... Once we got to the end of the... I think writing all the songs, whatever, there was a general... consciousness, there's a general like theme happening in the songs, and it was all kind of about being disappointed in the human race, and that's pretty much what misanthrope means. Yeah,
gotcha. So of course that will lead to Anti-Everything,
right,
debut single, which did great for you guys, and you have that momentum that's still rolling on with Remember the Enemy.
Yeah.
But Anti-Enemy, that's that you guys couldn't have picked. First of all, did you pick or did your label pick the debut single?
Do you want to hop in?
Yeah, go ahead. You can take it off the stand and pass the mic around too. That's okay also.
It was actually like kind of just an open discussion over time. It wasn't like a final decision by anybody. It was Feldman's idea, the producer John Feldman. We were just had worked on the song maybe for like a day or two, and we were making coffee in his kitchen, and he was like, I think Anti-Everything's the single, what do you guys think? And it was such a new sound for me, I wasn't even sure if I wanted it like on the record yet.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, just because it was, you know, I mean, it was new for us. Yeah, and, you know, we're trying new things and stuff.
Yeah.
But also like the song developed over time, and after a while you're like, yeah, this is a banger. So
yeah,
well, it came together.
It couldn't have picked a better first single because it's an anthem. And to have an anthem type song for your, especially your live shows, and have that be your debut single, that's something that will have longevity. And when you have a song with longevity as your first single, that's a major recipe for success. So great.
Thank you very
great
much.
Choice.
Really
great choice.
That.
Would you like to talk about the song a little bit before we end up playing it?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, we did it again. We were in LA doing it with John Feldman. The guys were putting it down in the studio. I was out working on vocal ideas with John, and we had some things going on. And again, he was saying when we started, this song was a little different for us. When we first started, it was very balls to the wall. Everything was like accelerated to 100 at all times. We were working on getting some dynamics into the songs. So when they were putting this one down, we were working on some vocal ideas. It just felt too poppy. It wasn't right. So I went out and just kind of walked around for a while. I had the phrase Anti-Everything jotted down on my notepad on my phone. I write down all kinds of ideas. Came in and just kind of laid it down. They had put down like a cool hip-hop-y style verse, so I tried to do some kind of like Beastie Boys thing in the verse. Big chorus. I mean, I just kind of followed the music, what the dudes put down. So big chorus, went for like a, you know, big anthematic chorus, and then we wanted to, you know, stay heavy, so I went for like a heavy post-chorus, like a screaming, like
I was gonna say, the hip hop is kind of twisted and dark,
right?
And so it's not,
yeah,
it definitely has that unique sound,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's what we did, in the moment. It was because John's very like that, like put it down, get in the moment, get your feelings in the moment, go for it, and then put that down on paper or on, you know, audio.
Awesome. We're hanging out at the Chameleon Club on iRockRadio.me with the band Dead. We'll be back in just a little bit, but first, let's hear their debut single now. It's Anti-Everything on iRockRadio.me. And we are back. Anti-Everything from the band Dead on iRockRadio.me. We're still at the Chameleon Club hanging out with the boys. Thank you again for sticking around.
Thank you for sticking around with us.
joining us. The two singles that you have out, Anti-Everything, Remember the Enemy, what's it like working with Fred Durst as a director?
It's awesome.
Did he come up with the themes of the videos, or was that something that you guys came up with and then he guided, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think he really came up with the themes to the videos. He came up with the locations and all that kind of thing. But we would send things back and forth to each other. He would send us like lookbooks and things like that with ideas he had, and we'd be like, "Yo, that's cool. Check this out." We'd send him some stuff. The first one was just cool because he wanted to keep it kind of ambiguous, a little mysterious, and it was cool with all the negative effects and everything and Anti-Everything, and we were just amped on it. And that was kind of like the getting to know each other process in that video. And then for Remember the Enemy, it was more like, we know each other already. It's cool. Like, let's go hang out. He came up with this idea to go shoot it at an abandoned zoo, an old, like it was like from 1912 to 1965 or something. It was a zoo. And it's in the middle of LA and this Griffith, it's called Griffith Park, and it's up in these like canyons and kind of thing. And, it was cool. It was weird, and we were there like till 4 a.m. shooting it, like all night. It was dark and creepy, and really went for like a horror movie kind of vibe that time. You know, the first one was all white and bright and like weird, and then this one was more cinematic and horror movie esque, I guess. Yeah, no, but it was cool. I mean, I was like swinging around inside of an old cage that probably had bears or monkeys in it or something, you know, and I was doing my vocals in there late at night, and we were up on this, you know, big like graffitied ledge type thing, and it was cool. It was like you know, it was it's just, I don't know, it's a cool experience, man. And just having Fred be there was
a very cool vibe. You can tell that you were enjoying it.
Yeah,
you could tell that you were enjoying it.
We did.
So a few things to kind of get to know you guys a little bit better.
Sure.
You know, behind the, you know, white eyes with no pupils and everything. So, and you can feel free to pass the mic around as well, but
no, no, I'm just kidding.
It's all you, right?
Just kidding.
Yeah, all you. Okay.
Good.
What are two things, at least one of them outside the music industry, that would be on Dead's bucket list?
Outside of music.
Well, at least one out of the two things.
Two things that would be on your bucket list. Man. Oh, for all of us or individually?
Individually.
Okay. For music, I would like for us to continue growing and to build a community of diehard people that want to jump on this adventure with us and do this. Outside of that, I would like to reach the highest level of enlightenment possible, being a human being.
All right. One of them would be Jennifer Aniston.
There you go. All right. Jan, we know you're listening.
And the second would be a clone of Jennifer Aniston.
Nice. Nice.
You know, hit me up, Jay.
I think aside from what Joe and David had already said about Jennifer Aniston and our own band, I would also like to be, I don't know, I'd like to play Antarctica someday. I think that'd be kind of crazy. I think Metallica is like the only band that's ever done that.
I think so.
So yep. If Metallica and Dead could go back to Antarctica and play for some penguins, I think that'd be pretty fucking cool. And then in my own life, now I got Jennifer Love Hewitt in my head. I got like
Lawrence.
Yes, right. Sure. All those.
Oh God. I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
aside from the music business, what's something that you have on your bucket list?
I want to go into outer space.
You want to play in outer? I want to say so. Then you also want to play in outer space?
That'd be cool. First Dead show in outer space.
See, fuck Antarctica. Yeah, you're going to go to outer space.
Metallica already played there. I want to go somewhere where no one's ever played.
Nice. So even though you guys have been together as a band for a little over a year, you've known each other for a long time. So that being said, what's one thing that you would say is a guilty pleasure of one of your other bandmates that...
Fart jokes all day long. I don't even know if it's a guilty pleasure.
In the car, right?
Well, no, everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. That's all of them, I guess, right?
I guess. We watch a lot of football. And we
That's not a guilty pleasure.
You know?
Nah.
I've listened to that new Taylor Swift song, like, a lot. more.
Musically, maybe there's guilty pleasures.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'd Taylor say Swift. Musically, I got some guilty pleasures.
Still don't feel guilty about any of that stuff.
Yeah. I don't feel guilty. I like the song.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I think. It's all like everybody has it, so I don't see why it has to be a guilty pleasure in a lot of ways, because everybody has one, right? So it's like we all do it, so why should we feel guilty? Oh, David has one. Hold on.
Okay.
Our tour manager has guilty pleasure with just, he treats gas stations like they're grocery stores.
Okay, you realize you waited until he walked out the door before you said
nice.
That.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't mind saying it.
That was our photographer.
Yeah.
Also his guilty
water. Yeah, food. Yeah.
Just love food.
Yeah.
When you're on the road, sometimes you have to.
No, for sure.
You have to. You need TP.
But he'll
TP,
buy snacks when he
this,
has snacks.
Yeah. He's just like, oh. Any hidden talents amongst your bandmates?
Stuff that you might not guess, like looking at us, but maybe you would. We all like sports. We all play. Like we bring the football out with us all the time. We play football. We love basketball. I love playing basketball. We love sports, things like that.
I would say that is because they look at you on stage and they're not going to think, oh,
that guy does that.
They're going to go play basketball now.
Right. Yeah.
They're going to go play football.
Right.
So
we all got pretty good jumpers and we can throw pretty good spiral stuff. Yeah. I skateboard a lot. I've got, I'm more talented with a tech deck than I care to admit sometimes.
What do you guys do when you spend a lot of time on the road? What do you guys do to pass the time in the van and the bus and.
I mean, really, we're all really funny. I think it's a lot of, we listen to a lot of comedy, stand-up comedy, honestly, on the road, because we listen to so much music all the time.
Right.
So it's nice to listen to different things. We like podcasts a lot, too.
We love a lot of stand-up comedy. We'll literally listen to anything or watch anything we can get our hands on.
Yeah. What favorite comedians?
We're doing Louis C.K., Chris D'Elia, Andrew Jeselnik,
Anthony
Jeselnik, Rogan, Joe Rogan, Sherrod Small. Shout out to our boy.
Nice. Well, guys, thank you very much for coming out. I appreciate it. And we will definitely see you guys on Shiprocked. We got to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're gonna party. Yeah, but I mean, like, there's something, like, I know, like, Tony from Otherwise, he likes to run, so we're going to go for a morning jog, and we're going to document it, because I can't run for longer than, like, a block.
Nice.
So
that'll be a funny segment, then.
So we're gonna have the video camera, we're going to document funny shit, so, you know, we gotta figure out what we're going to do.
We could sunbathe.
Nobody wants to see me sunbathe, man. Do you see how pale I am? Come on.
Hey, so awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. I just got the tattoos. They covered up. So. All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again. It's the band Dead. Of course, you can hear them here on iRockRadio.me and your website.
Facebook, Dead Official. Instagram, Dead Official. Twitter, We Are Dead. And deadband.com.